Revelation chapter 20, we'll begin reading in just a moment at verse 11. Let's rehearse for just a moment where we're at in the context. Back in chapter 19, in verse 1, we see hallelujahs going up to God because he has brought about the judgment of the great harlot, the city of Jerusalem, and apostate Israel. They have been destroyed. Chapter 19, in verse 11, we see a victory parade because he has been victorious, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In chapter 19, in verse 17 and following, in that context, we see then the beast captured, that is, the Roman Empire, with the false prophet, and both are cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. In Isaiah 2, and in verse 44, and in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, note this, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So we have a fulfillment of Isaiah 2 and in verse 44, where the kingdom of God has brought it in to all of the earthly kingdoms mentioned there in that context. Those four kingdoms, and the Roman kingdom was the last one, and it's mentioned here in Revelation as the beast that rose up out of the sea. And so the beast and the false prophet are cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. In chapter 20, we see, of course, an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, lays hold of that dragon, Satan, the serpent of old, cast him into a pit for 1,000 years so that he could no longer deceive the nations. But he would be released for a little time, a little while. And after his release for a little while, he would go out to deceive the nations again in order to seek to destroy God's people. But God doesn't allow it to happen. God is continually victorious in bringing about victory for his people and not allowing them to be harmed or hurt or destroyed, because the kingdom of God continues forever and ever. So the devil that deceived him in chapter 20 and verse 10 was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So we have all of those that were arrayed against God's people, we have them destroyed. And then Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, rules and reigns over his kingdom forever and ever. But chapter 20 and verse 11, let's read to the end of the chapter. Reading in the New King James Version. And I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to their works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Beginning back at verse 11 with our comments now. With all the battles fought and won, the devil and his helpers, of course, are all been cast into the lake of fire. There's nothing left to accomplish except the resurrection and the judgment. And that's what we see. That's the picture that's being painted here, Revelation 20, verse 11, to the end of the chapter. Note this, in Revelation 20 and verse 11, John sees the great white throne and him who sat upon it. Since this scene is followed by the judgment, this throne evidently is symbolic of Christ's judgment throne before which all the world shall be gathered, just as recorded in Matthew 25 and in verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all of his holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and all nations will be gathered before him, and he separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. Romans 14 in verse 10, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So the earth and the heavens fled away, Revelation 20 and verse 11, when he said, I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face, that is before him, the earth and the heavens fled away. That is, they fled away from the one seated upon the throne. Here all of heaven and earth flee. That is, they vanish away. It's symbolic of the events which are to happen at the end of time. The Apostle Paul's description of the resurrection at the last day, mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51 and following, as well as Peter's description of the destruction of the heavens and the earth in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 through 12. I'm going to turn and read that right quick. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all of these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hasting the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat." That's what we have here. Revelation 20 and in verse 11. That's what we have pictured. "Then there was found no place for them." That is, no place for heaven and earth. Means that this material universe has served its purpose and is no further of benefit. Revelation 20 and verse 12. "And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God." So we have the resurrection. The resurrection takes place. And then John views the scene of the great judgment day. And he sees all the dead here standing before God. The sea gives up the dead who are buried in it. Death and Hades gives up the dead in them. Death perhaps signifies the realm of Hades where the wicked are tormented. Remember, the Hadean realm consists of two compartments. Remember in Luke 16, the rich man was in Tartarus, or a place called torments. He is still dead. Death is a separation from God. He's separated from God. But Lazarus, being in paradise in Abraham's bosom, is actually in the presence of Christ. And so that's what we have here. Death perhaps signifies that realm of Hades where the wicked are tormented until the resurrection. So death is cast into the lake of fire, and as well as Hades. Hades, of course, translated hell in the King James Version. But it's actually the Greek word translated Hades.
So we always hear, you know, you do this, you're going to end up going to hell. I always think of it as the end of time hell. Mm-hmm. But this hell here will be in hell. I'm not grasping that.
Okay, the Hadean realm. The place of all disembodied spirits. When we die, our spirits depart from our body. The body goes to the grave, but the spirit returns to the Lord who gave it. It doesn't go straight to heaven. It goes to the Hadean realm, the place of all disembodied spirits, to await the resurrection day.
So what will be called the end?
Okay, that's another Greek word, Gehenna, hell. That's the place of eternal torment. In our text here in Revelation, it's referred to as the lake of fire and brimstone.
Right, that's
hell. Even though the Gehenna, the Greek word, is not there, hell, but it's described as a lake of fire and brimstone. That's hell.
Fire will be the end. That will
right.
Be
for
the bad people
go
to eternity.
But what we have here in Revelation 20 and verse 12, "I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God." It's the judgment scene. Just as I read there in Romans a few moments ago, in Romans 14 and verse 10, "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." So that's what we have here. We have the end of the world, heaven and earth vanishing away. They're destroyed by fire, dissolved. But man stands before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of himself. And so that's what we have here. In this text as well, after this, John views the expected procedure and the activities of the judgment. Books were opened. Note, and books were opened. Revelation 20 and verse 12. These are the books by which the world shall be judged on that day. The law of God by which guilt or innocence will be determined. Jesus actually said that his word would judge us in the last day. John 12 and verse 48, he who rejects me and does not receive my word has that which judges him. The word that I've spoken will judge him in the last day. And Paul said that we will be judged by the gospel in Romans 2 and in verse 16, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So God's word by which we are to live has been given to us, and we shall be judged on how we've conducted ourselves in harmony with that word. And that's the books under consideration. Revelation 20 and verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. So this is not the book out of which we'll be judged. The books out of which we'll be judged will be the Word of God. Those who lived under the law of Moses and those who lived under the law of Christ, we will be judged according to God's Word, God's law, regardless of what law we've lived under, at what period of time in history. And so another book was opened, which is the book of life. The book of life, of course, is God's record of the lives of those whose names are written in the book of life, such as names of Old Testament saints in Exodus 32 and in verse 32. Yet now, if you will forgive their sins, Moses cries out to God, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book which you have written. And the Lord said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. Psalm 69 in verse 28. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. Daniel 12 and verse 1 also speaks of this book. Daniel 12 and verse 1, at that time Micah shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, every one who is found written in the book. And remember, in our study of Revelation, we've looked at Daniel chapter 12 on several occasions. And it even speaks of the destruction of Jerusalem. And so when we come to the New Testament with that book of life in which our names are recorded, Revelation 13 and in verse 8, all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Revelation 21 and verse 27. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles, this is the church, and causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. When one becomes a Christian, when he comes up out of that watery grave of baptism, the Lord adds him to his church, his name is recorded in the Lamb's book of life. He has life. Philippians 4 and in verse 3, Philippians 4 and in verse 3, Paul said, I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Hebrews 12 and in verse 23, in regard to a picture of the church given to us in that context, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. So our names are registered in heaven, recorded in heaven in a book called the Book of Life. And here in the judgment scene, if our name is not written in that book, it was never written or it has been blotted out. Because once your name is written, it can be blotted out, it can be taken out. There's no such thing as once saved, always saved. So it's essential that one's name be written in the book of life at the time of judgment. But many whose names were once written therein have been blotted out. Just as we read a few moments ago in Psalm 69 in verse 28 in regard to the unrighteous, let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. To the church at Sardis in Revelation 3 and in verse 5, Jesus said, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So the church at Sardis, the members of the church at Sardis, their name had been recorded in the book of life. But if they did not overcome and keep their garments white, live pure and clean lives in the sight of God, their names would be blotted out. They'd be removed from the book of life. And so the consequences of that happening is eternal condemnation, eternal damnation in the lake of fire. Revelation 20 and verse 15, "And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." That's hell. Dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Revelation 20 and verse 12. We will be judged according to our works, according to our actions, according to our deeds. That's stated over and over, Old Testament and New Testament as well. Romans 2 and in verse 6. God will render each one according to his deeds. Romans 14 and in verse 12. "So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God." 2 Corinthians 5 and in verse 10, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one might receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or whether bad." There will be no respect of persons come that day. If our names are not in the Lamb's book of life, we'll be cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20 and verse 14. Okay, so after judgment, after the resurrection and after man stands before the judgment, then there's no more use for death and Hades. Just think about that. That realm in which our spirits, when they depart our body and go to the Hadean realm, there's no more use for that region. Just as there was no more use from the heavens and the earth. It was dissolved, all burned up. No more use for death and Hades. Where are they cast? Into the lake of fire. So the end comes, the sentence is passed, eternal punishment begins. Death and Hades are cast into the lake of fire. Death, of course, is the last enemy to be destroyed. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 26. With the resurrection at the last day, death is conquered and cast into the lake of fire for everlasting destruction. John 6 and in verse 39. "This is the will of the Father who sent me," Jesus said, "that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day." John 6 and in verse 40. "And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day." John 6 and verse 44, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I'll raise him up at the last day." So Hades, the place of the dead, has outlived, you might say, its purpose, and so it is destroyed forevermore, cast into the lake of fire. Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So with Satan and his helpers and death and Hades, cosigned to the eternal condemnation of hell, the residue of men who refuse faith in God and obedience to our Lord Jesus Christ will finally be consigned to that place of eternal torment as well. Any questions or comments over Revelation chapter 20? All right, almost out of time, but let's get started in Revelation chapter 21. We'll not get very far. Let's just read the first five verses, or all the way through verse 8. Revelation 21, 1 through 8 in the New King James Version. "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Revelation 21 and verse 1. This creation of a new heaven and new earth here is not the creation of a new planet with a new moon and new sun and new stars, as many of the materialistic sects among us would have us to believe. But what John sees is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies, which describe the New Testament order of things as a new heaven and a new earth. That's what he sees here. Now think about this as one thing that's going to come to your mind, since we just saw all the enemies of God's people destroyed and cast into hell, and then we saw the judgment scene. The first thing that comes to your mind is, now we're going to be reading about heaven. But that's not what we're going to be reading about. Things do not always go in chronological detail in our study of the book of Revelation. We've seen that from the beginning. As a matter of fact, when you turn back to, just turn back to chapter 20 began in verse 7, or chapter 19 and in verse 7. "Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made her ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." The Lamb in that context is Christ. The wife is the church. But we see it in the context here. It says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come." After the destruction of Jerusalem, Jesus and the church are now husband and wife? No, you see, that's not in chronological order. The church came into existence on the day of Pentecost. So the church was in existence. The church was the bride. Jesus was the Lamb of God on the day of Pentecost. And so when we come to chapter 21, don't reason in your mind, well, we just saw the judgment scene, and now we're going to see heaven. That's not what we're going to see. What we're going to see is what we see right here that I just read about. We're going to see that wife again. And she's going to be referred to as the wife of the Lamb of God later on. Also going to be referred to as New Jerusalem. And so that's what we're going to see. As a matter of fact, in Revelation 21 and verse 2, "Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven." We know that from the teaching of the New Testament, we can go to several passages and see that the church and New Jerusalem, or heavenly Jerusalem, has reference to the same thing. So when we come to Revelation 21 and into chapter 22, let's don't automatically assume, well, we're reading about heaven, because we're not. We're not. Now, don't have time to get into this, but I want you to think about it. When you read this chapter 21 here, the first 8 verses, keep in mind the church. This is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. For next week in our study, I want you to go back and read Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65, verse 17 through verse 25. Isaiah 65, 17 through verse 25. Isaiah is going to talk about a time in which God is going to create new heavens and a new earth. He's going to create New Jerusalem. Well, why was Isaiah speaking about that? Because it's fulfilled in the New Testament. Isaiah was speaking of the church coming into existence. The new heaven and the new earth, of course, is a new order of things. New order of things. Under the old order of things, worship was associated with Judaism and the physical temple and the physical tabernacle. But all of that has been destroyed in the book of Revelation. The kingdom of God rules and reigns. What's the kingdom of God? The church. New Jerusalem. It is a new order of things. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And that's what we're going to see here. With the destruction of apostate Israel and the city of Jerusalem, a new order of things came to be. It actually came to be on the day of Pentecost. A new order of things. But the old order was not completely taken out of the way until Israel and Jerusalem was destroyed. And then you could see the new order of things in regard to man's worship to God. And we'll see that next week. So read Isaiah 65, 17 through 25. You might also read in Isaiah 66, that chapter as well. And you'll be reading about the new heavens and the new earth and the new Jerusalem. We'll pick up here then at the beginning of Revelation 21 next Wednesday evening. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Good comments tonight.